Penny, just have a word of prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love, and your mercy, and your grace in our lives. Thank you that you have our best interest in mind. And you have a plan for our lives even when we don't see the sunshine. But you are glorified when we choose to praise and worship you in the midst of the shadows, Father. Thank you, Lord, for thy unfathomable wisdom and thy great grace and the power to fulfill thy great wisdom in our lives. You not only have the wisdom, Father, but you have the power to bring it to pass when we stand back and let you work in our hearts and our lives. You desire to glorify your name through each of our lives. So many times we stand in your way, Father. Forgive us. Have mercy upon us. We ask you that you open our clutching fingers to those things that we grasp and hang on to that keep us from seeing you more clearly. Open our fingers and let us worship you with free hands and free hearts, Father, lest we hinder your working in our lives. Lord, thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you for thy word. We ask that it may go forward, may edify and encourage your people, and most of all, that it would bring glory to your name. We just thank you for this time and pray your blessing upon the service for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've been encouraged this morning. Very encouraged. What a blessing to look back in our lives and see God leading. It can only happen after we stand out of the way, get out of the way of God working in our lives and our hearts. But oh, the joy of looking back and having no regrets in our lives. That stood out to me this morning. That was a challenge to my life, even as I go forward. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, may I face each of those days with that in my heart. Lord, when I look back to this day, may there be no regrets in the choices I've made today. Amen. What an encouragement. The grace of God, I was blessed and encouraged by those thoughts. The mercy of God is not giving us what we deserve. The grace of God gives us what we don't deserve. If you have your Bibles, just turn to Psalm 23. I've been, for those of you who are visiting here this morning, I've been going through this Psalm, and I felt led to just keep on going here and look at a passage of Scripture here in Psalm 23. I will say, too, I feel a little scattered. I was going to study yesterday, but I didn't have that opportunity. I had a better one, so I thank God for His goodness. Psalm 23. I do just want to give the opportunity to someone, one of the children, want to share the psalm from memory. I'll give them the opportunity instead of reading it. Carol, will you share? Can you stand up? Just stand up here. Or up here in the hallway, it'd be good.
I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Thank you. Psalm 23. We are ready for verse 3. The first phrase, He restoreth my soul. We'll look at that this morning, Lord willing. Draw some thoughts and from there and leave you all to consider and meditate. Thought for you this morning, have you ever considered that everything around us that we come into physical contact with changes and wears out. I would be curious for you to tell me one thing that doesn't over a matter of years. Some things last longer. They take longer to wear out or to depreciate. But as a whole, everything we see gets older and loses its value, or, you know, it just kind of falls apart. Especially everything that man has made. Everything that man has made, for the most part, wears out. You can look at your car, for instance. It gets older and loses its value, and usually its looks. And just with time in use, it just kind of depreciates, falls apart. And it's that way with about everything that we see and come in contact with. I don't know if you've thought about that. I guess I haven't so much, but this morning as I was sitting there thinking about this, I started trying to think of one thing, or maybe you have some thoughts for me when we open it up at the close of the service here. But I started thinking of one thing that is not changing or depreciating that we physically see and are in contact with every day. Our house, our money is depreciating pretty rapidly these days. All of our possessions and everything that we have that's made by man, basically, it just depreciates. It wears out. My cars or my vans almost wore out. It's a challenge sometimes to me. You know, and I pray for it and I go on, but it's wore out. It's over years, it's just worn out. And that's how the things of this world are. But I hear you saying in your heart this morning that this world that we live in is sure and steadfast. Is that a fact? Is the world that God has made here, is it sure? Is it steadfast? The world has stood longer and been more useful than anything man has made. But the Bible tells us that it is also changing. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Look there for a scripture. I just want to establish this truth in our hearts a little as we look at this portion of scripture. Hebrews chapter 1. Interesting passage of scripture here. Chapter 1 verse 10. I like to meditate on these words. It says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hands." And then verse 11 says, "They shall perish." They shall perish. Even this world, in all its beauty that God has made, God says here, it will perish. "And they all shall wax old as doth a garment." You know, it's not interesting to us, or it's not surprising to us as Christians in a lot of ways that even some of their scientific studies are showing that the world is wearing out. You know, and I don't know where some of them are, but it's not hard for me to believe that the world is wearing out. God's Word says, it will wax old as doth a garment. Any one of my clothes, I don't know about yours, especially if I wear them, they kind of wear out. And that is what is likened to the world. Even the world God has made, He said, it's going to be used, and it's going to be worn out, basically. And then in verse 12, "And as a vesture, as a piece of cloth, you will fold it up." You'll just fold the world up, and they shall be changed. But in the following that, I love those words, "But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." In verse 11 there it says, they shall perish, but thou remainest. Hallelujah. Although all these things that we come into contact with in this world that we live in is shaking, is changing, is unsteadfast, is moving, so to speak, even. There's one who is unchangeable, who is absolute, who is a pillar, a mountain that will never be moved. He never will change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is our God. God is unchangeable this morning. And He's in the restoration business. He's in the process of restoring. And I am so thankful for that in my life. Let's turn back to Psalm 23. He restores my soul. This was David writing. And I actually, if you're paying any attention, but the psalm this morning was right in front of Psalm 23. You know, I thought of that now since we've been doing this study right away. I said, oh, that's right in front of Psalm 23. I want to hear what they have to say. This is preceding Psalm 23. And we see the picture of the cross and the crucifixion there. And that's one way God restores us, isn't it? It's because of the cross that we can be restored through Jesus Christ. There are two ways to look at this this word restore in this process. I tend to believe that we want to look at it today. You can look at it as original salvation. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. Saying God restored my soul in the salvation process. I absolutely agree with that. I believe it was placed in here more as a... actually, one of the definitions, Webster's 1828 dictionary says, to replace or to return as a person or a thing to a former place. To bring back. To bring back. To recover. To revive. Just a lot of thoughts there. And that's how we want to consider it this morning. I personally believe that is how David wrote it. And I don't know, we're not told clearly whether this Psalm 23 was wrote before Psalm 51 or after. But if it was written after, it's not hard for us to see that this was definitely real in David's life. But there are some other Psalms. But what a tremendous testimony here when David is referring to Jehovah, his shepherd. And this is one of the things that God does in my life. This was a testimony of the sheep, of the faithfulness of the shepherd. As we're looking through this psalm, we looked at the phrase in verse 2 that says, he leadeth me. And I want you to this morning to consider that. I appreciate that testimony, Brother Chris and Sister Ella. And that is our testimony. When we submit and surrender, we can write that across our life. And what a blessing. He leadeth me. And you think of that, and we have he with a capital H, and over here we have me with a little m. And in the middle, we have leadeth me. He leadeth me. What a blessing that verb is to connecting those two pronouns. He leadeth me. And here we kind of have the same thing. He restores my soul. Restore, like I said, means to bring back or to replace. And I think that's what he was referring to here. Let's turn to Psalm 42 for a few. And there's a few scriptures there. You can keep your hand here at Psalm 23. We'll keep. Actually, I don't know how much we'll reference back to it from here. But Psalm 42, verse 5. David was writing here. And I believe it was when he was in his sin, personally, or around that time. I didn't look into that too much here on the time period that this was written. But it says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then further down in verse 11, it says basically the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And then let's turn to Psalm 51. First, some scriptures there. We see that this was very real in David's life. He needed restoration. He needed to be brought back to his former place and his relationship with God. He wanted to be brought back to reality, so to speak, and delivered from his sin. Psalm 51, verse 10 or 9. Let's start in verse 9. Yeah, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Then he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me. There we see that word again. Bring back to me the joy of thy salvation, and behold me with thy free spirit. Verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In verse 13 there, that word converted is the same Hebrew word that's used in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. And so it's, I was really amazed. The word restore there in the Hebrew is a very general word. It's used a lot in the Old Testament for a lot of different things. It was interesting for me to look through those types and get some different pictures. But that's the same Hebrew word, just a note there. But back to Psalm 23, He restores my soul. These words are a tremendous comfort and an encouragement to those of us who are deeply conscious of our need of the restoring graces of the good Savior. Are you the good shepherd? Are you aware of that need in your life? Are you aware of the need of being restored to God, the shepherd? Are you aware, like the song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love? If you are, you can rejoice in these words that the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, He will restore us. As we look to Him, He will restore our soul back to Himself because He is a good shepherd. In other words, He won't just leave us to wander. At least He'll come and He'll draw us to Himself. Whether or not we respond will be left up to us, but He will come and draw us. We do believe that if God were alone to be followed with all of our heart and His influences upon us were always instantly and wholly obeyed, there would be no need for restoration in our lives, would there? But as for me and most of us, we find it quite comforting to know that Jehovah, our shepherd, restores us. He brings us back to the fold, so to speak, or back to Himself, really. Now, there is a parable I could find in this from actually keeping sheep in some of the Mideastern countries. The way I understand it, you know, I've told you I don't know much about sheep, so I've been reading up on this as well as we've been going through this psalm. And the way I understand it, they have what happens, what they call the sheep being cast. And what that literally means is they'll lay down and they'll either have too heavy of a, their wool will be too heavy and it'll be filled with dirt, or else they might be pregnant with little lambs. And what can actually happen is they'll lay down and somehow they'll roll over on their back and they won't be able to get back up. It sounds kind of silly to me, but I guess this happens. I guess that's how helpless a sheep can be. But this actually happens. So that is one reason the shepherd will count his sheep regularly. Even throughout the day, he'll count his sheep. He'll also watch for buzzards or any predators, because once that happens, they become very, very vulnerable to any of their predators. And so he's constantly counting his sheep and he's watching for any of them that are missing. If there's one missing, he goes looking for it. Because depending if the weather's hot, that sheep might only live a couple hours after it gets cast, as they ask us to do something for God, so to speak, or just to go through the motions in our lives. But in our quiet time, in reading the Word of God, God wants a relationship with us. And if you're in this case, if you've been finding your quiet time's dry, and it's more of a duty than actual reality in your life. And there is place for some of that. Don't get me wrong. I've heard it said by someone I highly respect that a lot of his praying was about 40% of it was will, or 50%. I mean, it was a choice he made. But once he was praying, you know, then after a while, he got through to God and it became reality in his life. That's what's important. It's important that we have that relationship with God. And if we find ourselves this morning struggling in that area, I just encourage you, maybe you need to be restored in your relationship back to the Father or back to the Shepherd. Number two, another thought for you. Unconfessed sin is a cause for spiritual decline in our lives. If we have unconfessed sin in our lives that we're living with, let's turn to, there's a verse here, I'll just read it to you actually. Acts 24:16, if you want to write down the reference, if you are. Well, there's a verse that tells us, Paul, he said this here in front of the governor, was it Felix? I can't even remember right now. I didn't even look it up. But he said this in verse 16, Paul said, herein do I exercise myself. He says, I train in the sense of striving. The word exercise is, it's a striving in my life that I to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man. Isn't that something that he makes that statement? And herein do I strive, or herein do I train myself, even we could say, that I always have a conscience that's void of offense before God and man. So unconfessed sin in our life will bring a separation. If that's a need in your life this morning, maybe you need restored. Maybe you need restoration back to the Good Shepherd. You know, when there's a disagreement or an offense between two people, even if they were real good friends, or let's use a marriage and a husband and wife relationship. If there was a disagreement or there's an offense between those two, it will cause a breach in their relationship. It just does. Until that is cleared up, there will be a breach in that relationship. And how much more in our relationship to God? So if that is not cleared up, then, you know, our relationship will struggle with God. And we need to be restored back to Him, brought back to Him to where we have been formerly. I just have some to say, and it's laying on its back and it can't get up. It'll only live a couple hours, maybe. So it's very important as a good shepherd. So this wasn't just a statement David was making. He was, if you want to say, he was boasting in his good shepherd, saying, He restores me. When this happens to me or something like this, He's immediately out there looking for me. He's wanting to bring me back. He's not waiting till it's too late. Like the hireling would in John 10. He's not saying, oh, He'll show up tonight, hopefully. Because sheep don't just show up. The way I understand it, once they leave the fold, they're not very smart animals, so they tend to just wander. They don't have the instinct in them to come back to the fold very, very well. So there's a very important that when he's missing, they go look for him. Wow, what an example. I have a few thoughts to draw from that. If they lay in a soft spot, this can happen. If the ground's soft and they roll over. And it's the type we can look at that as self-indulgence. What about if their diet is not rationed? They can get too big and that makes the same problem. That can happen to us. Being drunk by the things of this world, we don't realize the danger we're in. We're not rationed with a good bread of God, the Word of God, and we're not being rationed. We're just indulging. We can become fat and heavy like Eli and fall off the chair and break our neck, so to speak. But that's what can lead to this happening. Or it can have too much wool. Just simply needs to be trimmed down. And that's the type of the self-life. It becomes filled with dirt, manure, burrs, and debris, and it weighs them down. Isn't that how our self-life can be? Now, I have a few thoughts. I'm going to go through these somewhat quickly. Just some thoughts here for you. Some reasons for us needing restoration. And the first one I have down is simply the neglect of the Word of God in personal time for devotion. When the golden pipes that flow the grace of God into our lives are kept unclogged, when those pipes are clear, we have no need for restoration. But what happens when those pipes get plugged, the grace of God is not coming into our lives. So it is important to us that we keep those pipes open, that the fuel of grace would just fuel the holy flame in our hearts. And another thought is, many times we just skim the Word of God. It's skimmed, and our devotion can become a routine. Our devotion is only religious, so to speak. It's not even reality. We just do it. We just perform it. It is important that we understand that God wants a relationship, and not just different thoughts. Adam and Eve, that's the perfect example we have. They were separated from the fellowship of God because of sin. And it's still that way today. I had to think of Psalms 24 says, who will ascend up to the Lord, to the mountain of the Lord? Maybe it says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He that has not lifted up his soul to vanity or sworn deceitfully. In Isaiah 33, verse 13, some words here that stood out to me this morning in this context. Isaiah 33:13. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, God speaking, And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? And then verse 15 says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Verse 17 is a blessing to me. Thine eyes, this person, shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. So maybe if we're not seeing the king in his beauty this morning, the shepherd, maybe there's something between us. But this man who walketh uprighteously, basically, and has no hidden sin in his life, is the picture I get from that. He will see the king in his beauty. Hallelujah. Another one I have wrote down is walking after the flesh. And I'm just going to make a point of this. Romans 8 from 1 to 8, basically, is clear on that. But if we allow our flesh to govern our lives in any area, our spiritual life will decline. If that's the case in your life, you need restoration this morning. That's the thought there. The fourth one I want to look at a little more is called the cares of life. Let's turn to Luke 21:34. You know, the cares of this life are very dangerous. I don't know if you think about it so much, but I do at times. We tend to think being busy is not bad. And there's a point where it's not, but we need to be careful in this in our lives. Luke 21 verse 34. I've considered this a lot. Jesus was speaking here about his second coming. And he said here, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And then it says, in the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. The cares of this life, I don't know if you've ever considered that, but it's right in there with surfeiting and drunkenness. It's really bad stuff, we would say. But then we tend to look at the cares of this life in more of a milder way. But I just want to bring that thought to you. The cares of this life in the parable that Jesus gave of the sower, this says the seed that was choked out by the thorns was a type of how the cares of this life, I think in two of the Gospels, it says the cares of this life, they choke out the seed and it becomes unfruitful. So that's the thought for you this morning. Maybe if you're struggling, maybe you need restoration to the shepherd because the cares of this life have come in between you. And the reason for this danger in your life, it's not that that it's wrong to be busy, but what tends to happen is we can allow our busyness to draw our eyes from the Lord or our shepherd, and we're not watching him, but we're looking at all the cares of this life. We're seeing all our problems and our challenges. But we need to live eternity conscience in Christ conscience and not be swallowed up by these things. But if these things are choking in your life or choking you up, you need to be restored to the shepherd. You need to allow him to restore you back to himself. If the things that we live around every day, you know, those things that I said that are changing and are fading away, if those things become more real to us than God, who is absolutely unchangeable and immovable, if those things that are changing become more real to us than God, then we have a need of restoration in our lives. I just want to mention here, condemnation. I know this in my life has been a challenge at times. But Romans 8:31 says, I've been thinking about this week, and I recognize it because I've had this in my life different times. But Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? This is a big one in our lives, I see as Christians. Many times we struggle with insecurity, but I just want to submit this thought to you. Condemnation will come between your relationship with God. And it, because you're listening to the voice of the devil, condemnation comes from Satan. It don't matter how much truth is in that condemnation. The spirit of condemnation is behind that. It's from Satan. You need to throw the whole thing out. Don't try to sort through that, or you'll be like Eve trying to sort through the truth that the serpent threw at her. But rather you say no, like Jesus did. You say, get thee behind me. And then we can ask God if there's a need in our life. But condemnation usually comes with a whole bunch of truth. And then what we decide to do is pick through it, and we're going to pick out the truth. But the whole spirit behind it is condemnation. It's from Satan. And if we do that, if we try to listen to that, we're listening to his voice. But it is God that justifies. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. Another thought I have in the line of that is just the neglect to some known command in the scriptures. I had someone I know real well. Some of you might have heard this. Someone was sharing with me about their little girl they took out to discipline at church. It was interesting to me to consider this. And this little girl knew she was in trouble. She hadn't been sitting well. And her dad, you know, looked her in the face and said, you know, this is why I need to discipline you. And all she kept saying is, I love you, Daddy. She'd smile and say, I love you, Daddy. And he'd say, you know, this is the problem. This is why I need to discipline. She said that over and over. Sometimes that's how we are with God. There's a command in the scriptures that God is wanting us to follow. But rather we would just say, I love you, Father. I love you, God. And we go right on through life. We don't want to address the need in our life. Rather we just, like that little girl, we look into the Father's face and we say, I love you. I love you. And we don't allow God to show us that need in our life or bring that discipline in our lives. But the list could go on here. But the neglect of a known command in the scriptures can cause, if that is where you're at and you know that God has impressed something on your heart from his scriptures, you need to be restored to him. Now let's look on the positive note of this a little more. God, our shepherd, is the restorer of our souls. I like that. God, who is full of grace and truth and mercy and justice even, he is the one that's restoring us. And I can really get excited about that. 1 Corinthians 10:12. There's a thought that I want to draw from. 1 Corinthians 10:12. I want to leave you with this, I guess, in what I had shared prior to. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Maybe you're saying in your heart today, you know, I don't know of any restoration I need to do with God or anything in my life he wants to restore. And I just want you to consider this. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let us walk carefully. You know, as someone has said, the lower the glass of water is to the ground, the less likely it is to break or fall over in some ways. And it's the same way even in the world today, even in our country here, we know that water seeks the lowest places, doesn't it? And the Holy Spirit is a type of water in our lives. It seeks the lowest places. And it fills them first. Revelation chapter 2. You know, there were some letters written here to... how many churches was it? Seven, right. Seven churches. Most of them had areas in their lives or their churches that they needed to be restored. I don't know if you've considered that, but one of them was really far out saying, you know, you say that you are full and let me read it here. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Six of those seven churches received a rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, saying, but basically every one of them was followed with repent. And you see the longing in his heart. He's wanting to be restored to his church, or have the church restored to him, rather. And so this was giving us a warning and an admonition, these letters to the churches. And most of them, even the first one, you know, had some compliments. But then it says, you know, I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. And even in that, in these letters, we see Jesus Christ, the restorer, wanting to restore that relationship with his church. We see the longing in his heart. We see that in his life there as the head of the church. We see these churches were founded by the apostles. This wasn't that long after they'd been founded. And Jesus is saying, you know, this is what you need to, this area in your life, you need to repent. It's not right. You need to be restored to me. He was wanting to do that in their lives. May we live our lives Christ-centered so we can hear what He has to say to us, individuals, and to the church. We need to have our ears open so we can hear those words. Let's turn to Luke 22 for another example. This was very obvious in the life of Jesus Christ, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came wanting to restore those things. He came as a restorer, bringing restoration between man and God, first of all, in salvation. But here we see in a relationship, we're going to look at a few examples here. In Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, He said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. There's a few different thoughts we could bring from that. But Jesus knew what would happen. And we could see, even beforehand, I believe, when after Peter had denied Him three times, and in one of the Gospels it says, and Jesus looked at him and he left crying, weeping bitterly. Jesus knew what would happen. He had warned him before, but He also knew it would break Peter's heart. And here, even before this happened, Jesus was trying to reach out to him, saying, Peter, Satan was desirous to have you, but I'm going to pray for you. And you see, you can see the heart of Jesus and wanting to be restored there. And then in John 21, we see where I believe that's kind of what happened there. When Jesus asked him three times, He asked him, do you love me, Peter? And I believe that was part of the restoration. I believe that's what Christ was doing at that time. He was restoring Peter in some ways to their relationship was restored through that. And Christ took the initiative there. And He is still, as the shepherd, He is wanting to restore. He's wanting those things and those needs in our lives. He's wanting to restore those, to bring us back again to where we had been before in our relationship to Him. We see it as a type, in a type with the Jewish people after they were sent to Babylon. We see all the promises where God said, brought them back and gave them another chance, and they sinned and He took them again. But He tried. He brought them back and He said, you know, I want to restore to you all those years, even though you've wasted them, so to speak, I want to restore them to you. And that's how it is in our lives. Let's take courage this morning. Jesus Christ desires to restore us and all those things to a right relationship with Himself. And when we do err one side or the other, when we fall, we can hear His voice. He restores my soul. He brings me back to Himself. He returns, it takes me back to where I had been before. Hallelujah. Think of the other religions today. There's none of them that their God pursues them. Do you ever think of that? Someone has wrote a book called The Pursuit of God. He's pursuing man. There's none of the other religions. Most of the other religions are like this. Under your thumb, you have to perform and you have to do all these things. But none of them are their gods pursuing them the way Jesus Christ has pursued us. Came to the cross and then he wants that relationship with us. He fills the place of shepherd in our lives. And when we wander away, so to speak, well, He's there. Or when we're cast and when we get stuck in the mud, so to speak, He counts the sheep and we're not there. And He comes looking for us. Hallelujah. In closing here, let's look at Luke 15. I had a few other scriptures from the Old Testament that have been interesting. But let's go on here and look at Luke 15. This is an example of what I was talking about. Jesus Himself gave this parable, He calls it. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? Isn't that an interesting thought? I don't know about you this morning. That's encouraging to me to know that Jesus Christ is my shepherd. And that's how much He cares for me. Because, you know, I do. Sometimes I make mistakes in life and I need to be restored. And to know that He is more than willing to restore my soul, to bring me back again and to help me even to make the first step He won't just let me wander, but he'll count the sheep and he'll come looking. That's encouraging to me. And verse 5, Luke 15. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Hallelujah. And when he cometh home, he calleth together all his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What a parable. I'll leave those thoughts with you this morning. But he restores my soul. It's a boast that David was making, so to speak. He was saying, this is what my shepherd does. He follows after me. He restores my soul. He's the good shepherd. I trust you can say the same. God bless you.